The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 505. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, peep? How's it going?
We got, Carlos is in here. Oh, wait, there he is. Carlos Romero. Yo. Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
Brett Murdoch.
What, people?
And Brian Majoma.
Mr. Murdoch.
What's up?
Yeah, so... Rich, tonight is episode 505, one of our favorite PR companies, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Wait. 505 is also a game studio.
Yeah, there's Game Studio. Game Studio. And there's, who am I thinking? I got it mixed up. There's a PR company that's always associated with 505, but we're not going to get into that. But yeah, crazy. We're in a lot of episodes. By the way, I got texted by Torrance a couple of days ago. He thought that... what's the name of that beat 'em up that was on PlayStation? It's like you keep getting older and you got to redo everything again. Sifu.
He thought that was a PlayStation game?
He thought it was a PlayStation game.
No, it's not. But it does. I could see why he thinks it was a PlayStation game. It does feel very much like it could be a PlayStation game, right? Yeah,
because he was like, why is it on Xbox Game Pass? What's going on? I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's on everything. You know?
I was like, what the hell's going on? Oh, there's Chris. Perfect. We got the full crew in the house, you know? I don't know. There's not exactly a unifying theme between the stories, but there is one. All these companies are fucking up. I guess that's the main theme, you know? It's like, we're not talking about one specific game or anything, but game industry, you fucking up.
Yeah, it's too bad we can't use that as the title for the show.
Yeah, right. I mean, if this was YouTube... from whatever years ago, obviously, you know, but can't do that. So let's start with the first failure of the night. Richard's favorite game of all time, Starfield. So let's get into it. So the DLC, the story expansion has come out, and it launched to 42% positive mixed reviews on Steam. And some of the reviewers that played it don't like it. You know, they're just like kind of more the same. Because people were hoping like this would at least kind of address some of the issues people had with the main game. And I guess it hasn't. So I guess my main question is like, is it just too little too late for this game? I think it might be.
Brett.
Yeah, Brett, you go ahead, man. This is yours. Let's see. He's muted right now. Around.
I stepped away for half a second. I didn't hear the question. Say it one more time.
Basically, Starfield DLC came out and people don't care. Do you think it's too little too late for this game?
I do.
Yeah,
and I do. The problem is like you know, Bethesda games have kind of been wide as an ocean, deep as a puddle to a certain extent. For a long time, but the way that the game is broken up, it doesn't, everybody says it, everybody kind of feels it, like it just doesn't feel like a big, open, intuitive world. And that is difficult to swallow for a Bethesda game, because that's really what they bring to the table. Also, you know, on a personal note, too, like, I'm not sure if I'm the only one who feels this way, but I feel like they crossed a line.
Uh-oh.
With Starfield in terms of general audience mass appeal kind of thing. Like, to put on my old man glass here for a minute, like back in my day in Morrowind, when you equipped an armor set, you had two shoulders, two gloves, like a chest piece, a pair of pants, two boots. Like you had like all of the different armor slots, you know, that you could put on. You had like, you know, like I said, you had a chest piece, and then you had gloves, and then you had pauldrons. They were all separate. They all could all do separate things. And, you know, fast forward by the time we get to Starfield, I'm finding a whole outfit or a whole, like, cool, so I can wear this outfit or that outfit mixed with this hat or that hat. Done. And I get that you have a spacesuit, and I get that you can do all kinds of fucking shit to your spacesuit, but we've been getting shallower and shallower and shallower as these games go on, which is not the direction I like to see them. You know, even and so, like, this to me puts a lot of fear for Skyrim 6. You know, am I going to play Skyrim 6? I'm like, oh, look, here's a dark elf armor set. Hooray. And I know that feels awfully nitpicky, but it seems indicative of a bigger problem that I'm seeing in Bethesda games, but also a lot of these types of games where, you know, for some reason, mechanically, they are more shallow than games 20 years ago. And I don't understand why. And I think Dragon Age is going to kind of fall under that same thing. You know, Dragon Age has been getting more and more simplistic, but more and more cinematic. And then, you know, we hear this Dragon Age is going to be what? More, yeah, have a more simplistic, but more dynamic and cinematic combat experience than previous entries. Great. So you just dumbed it down. So, yeah, I feel like Starfield feels like it is disconnected. But I also think that it feels oversimplistic. And I know that you can put on an Eldritch horror. You can put on the best DLC, but it's still bolted onto a mediocre game.
Yeah.
I mean, and I still have to plug through that game to get here.
No, you're right. And I, you know, CK in the chat, he says it right. He goes, the problem with Starfield is foundational. They need to start from scratch. What do you think about that, Britt?
That's exactly it. Yeah. I couldn't have put it better. The infrastructure of the whole thing is just it's wrecked and it needs to be kicked out. And, like, don't make a giant game like this and then break it up. Even, you know, if the only thing holding this shit together is the illusion of seamlessness, it, you know, even though every time you open a door, you have to go into a different fucking loading screen. You done broke the formula here and it's not helpful. And, you know, it's, to me, the thing is, like, I don't know why they decided to go that way anyway. Like, yeah, great, you can have a million or whatever fuck procedurally generated planets. Cyberpunk couldn't even make a whole city. Couldn't even do a whole city realistic and kind of in-depth. And I think that's kind of, you know, the thing that's been really shown to me recently is Baldur's Gate has shown how condensed an area can be, how many different options for scenarios to play out there can be. And I think we need more of that. We need more, just make a couple of cities, but make them fully explorable, make them fully realized, make them fully interactive, so that, you know, you don't drop into town within the first two loops. Like, you know how many places in Starfield I did one loop through the town and I was like, okay, I've seen it. Like, everyone except Neon. Neon was kind of cool, but it was like half of a street. It wasn't even a full length, like, main street.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I echo every sentiment that Brett is stating, except for the Cyberpunk one. I disagree, but that's not neither here nor there. Yeah, that's the biggest issue with Starfield. I feel like they spread themselves too thin when it comes to, you know, whatever their world is, and their world is a galaxy or universe. I don't know what the hell it is now, but it sucks because, like Brett mentioned, we understand that some of the procedurally generated worlds are going to be pretty much vast and empty. Like, you know, Brian would make the point that it's like, well, what do you expect? Like, it's just a random world that hasn't been colonized yet. And yeah, but the issue is you have these interstellar travel with different, you know, technology and civilizations and everything. And you get to the actual places of civilization and they're so barren and like Brett mentioned, the main, I forgot the name of the main place. It's just a city, but it's not even a city. It's like four areas connected via a loading screen, aka a subway thing. And it's like you go past one of them and that's it. You pretty much did everything you can do in that city. There's some shops and stuff, but that's about it. And it's not really like whenever you go to that planet, like you don't feel like you're going to a place. You feel like you're just going to like whatever you need to progress the story. And it doesn't really feel like you can spend more than 2 seconds in that place without just getting bored. That's a shame. And also echo Brett's sentiments about Neon. That's like the only place that was worth a damn and had some sort of creativity and character. But it's still pretty small relative terms to other cities and other video games. So, you know, just going back to the whole thing with the DLC, they're not really going into the foundation of the reason why, you know, Starfield isn't hitting as hard as other mainline Bethesda games. Because when you go to those games, I mean, you know, all the Fallout 3 DLCs, they felt like, you know, their own worlds. Like there were different maps and areas and aliens and swamps and different things that, you know, made it seem like it was like a new world in the same area that was already vast. And this one, it's just it feels like they're doubling down on the same things what it seems on the, you know, the review part. But who knows? I still haven't played it, so, you know, maybe the reviews are wrong. Who knows?
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like you guys were enthused about the DLC.
No.
Let me put it this way. Let's say there was just the best pizza place you've ever been to, but you had to go to Detroit to get to it.
Oh, shit. Yeah, and not even by plane, right? I have to go, like, the long way?
No, you have to go through Detroit.
Ooh.
Or no, I'll make that even worse. You have to go through St. Louis, directly to the middle of St. Louis. Like, no, like, but it, yeah. Sure, I can eat the best slice of pizza I've ever had, but I'm in fucking St. Louis.
Yeah, I'll just recontextualize it for me. You know, it's like going to the best pizza place, but you have to go through the Bronx. Like, you know, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to the Bronx. Yeah, and I hear you, Brett. I hear you. It's like, is it worth it in the end? No. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's a damn shame, man, because I know some people were hyped for this game, and it was supposed to be the savior of Xbox, but, you know, that didn't end up.
I mean, I was hyped for this game.
I know you were, man. You were hyping it up for a while, and you were kind of, I know you were upset with some people that, like, saying, oh, why aren't they changing anything? Well, they did change shit, and it fucked everything up.
I mean, like, it's, I feel like there is a good game in there, and I feel like if you want to play it a certain way, you can probably still get to that game. But we shouldn't be judging games based off of whether they have the ability to have fun in them if you stick to self-imposed criteria, right? Like, I feel like the fast travel system really hurts that game. I feel like just traveling to places from your apps also kind of hurts the game. I kind of feel like I really wish that they would have, even if just certain things like the way that they implemented fast travel or the, you know, what I guess I'm saying is that you can implement arbitrary rules that I feel like would probably enhance the gameplay experience, but it's not our job.
Yeah.
So you kind of cut back on this, you know, you're watering down this big giant world more and more and more and more until it breaks, while at the same time giving players less and less and less and less choice until they don't really have any. And you kind of end up with Starfield. I want to say that I feel like Bethesda can still make the right game. And in a lot of ways, I think that they can. I have also heard, though, that they've been, this has really put the scare into them. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because I don't know if you guys have heard that they come out and kind of tempered expectations for the next Skyrim.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's one of the guys, I think it was in a French gaming thing. Basically said, you know, they're preparing for gamers to be disappointed with Elder Scrolls. And I was like, oh, no. And then I look at the article, and it's not anything in particular. It's just that they were really taken aback by people not liking Starfield. Wow. And they feel like that their own reputation is so hard to live up to, that they're internally a little bit worried, I think. And part of me thinks that that's dangerous, that that's an ill omen. But the other part of me says maybe good, because it's not about what you guys think the future of gaming is. It's about what your customers think the future of gaming is. At the end of the day, you know, this is a business. You're here. And by that, I don't mean so much that you have to just solely make money. Making some money is necessary for a business, sure. But it's not necessarily always about the most money for the you know, most morally bankrupt people. Like, I feel like Baldur's Gate is a pretty good example of, you know, they made money. They're a company. That's mm-hmm. fine. I just feel like... I don't know, man. I don't know how to put it other than I hope that this puts the fear of God into them. I hope this puts the fear of success into them, because I feel like game companies lately have been kind of dictating us to us what we'll get and how we'll be happy for it. And they'll forget that that we're the ones who pretty much help fund this stuff, or who do fund this stuff. Yeah. And I think the cap I would put on that is, if you don't like it, don't buy it.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
You know what's something that I always thought about when I played Starfield? It's still a decent game. Like, that's the thing that sucks. It's like, there's a decent game there. It's just, like, I always attribute it to, like, when you go to Universal and you go to that one ride where it throws you through all the sets of the old movies, it's like... You know, you go and you're like, oh, it looks kind of real, but it looks kind of fake too. Like, you can tell. And that's just what this game always gave to me. I don't know.
Felt like a set.
Yeah. It just,
wow. That's not good.
You know what I always felt like? And this is slightly related but unrelated. The Dead Space games, the way they always separated you from the NPCs that horrible things happen to, that always reminded me of being like in one of those dark rides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you go on a dark ride, it's like you go on Pirates of the Caribbean, everything is separated off from you. So I always felt like that. Those games always felt like that. It's like none of the crazy thing, you know, with the exception of gameplay things, but all the, like, you know, fucked up, like, sort of story things that would happen all used to happen all separated behind glass or behind, you know, far away. So you can't interact with it at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, even like, you know, going back to Bethesda, Fallout. Every time I play a 3D Fallout game made by Bethesda, it always feels like a real world. Like, it feels real playing it. It feels like the stakes are there. Like you're adventuring into the unknown, and it's like it just feels more calculated the way the world works. And I just never felt that with Starfield, unfortunately.
Yeah, Rich, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I would just like to make a comment. I think that Brett and Carlos made some excellent points. The only thing I have to add for you, Tony, you said, is this the end of the game? Yes, on Xbox. And then it will come to PlayStation 5 Pro, and the studio will get, you'll have a whole bunch of other players on PlayStation that will be, I guess, ones looking forward to playing this game. So, I mean, yes, they do have an opportunity, I guess, to somehow do more with the game. But obviously, it is going to go to PlayStation. So I'm just waiting for that announcement to see how they hype up the PS5 Pro features.
Yeah, but, you know, as, you know, Carlos and Brett have already said, like, the game is just fundamentally not good. So I don't think, if it comes to PlayStation, I don't think it's going to improve things. As a matter of fact, now the PlayStation guys know what they're getting, they may be like, nah, pass.
Nah, you know what? It's still good to be on PlayStation, because at least they'll be able to make some money.
Unlike being on a subscription service. Yeah, well, I mean,
they can make some money.
Yeah, that's true. They'll actually be able to buy physical copies, but how many physical copies are going to sell? Like 300?
Well, I mean, that has nothing to do with physical copies. It has to do with, you know, you forget that people still buy digital games.
Yeah, no, but my point is, I don't think a lot of people are going to buy this game. Understand?
I think people will buy it. I don't think it'd be a lot.
That's what I said.
I literally just said that. I don't think it's going to do gangbusters, but I think at least it'll make some money. You know, I think that's what that's where a lot of that, you know, the other things that they did on the previous stuff, you know, like putting Hi-Fi Rush and all those other games on there. I think it's that they also wanted to make, they genuinely wanted to make some money off of that. You know, they've already run their course on the Xbox. So, you know, Hellblade and when Hellblade and this game come out.
You know? I don't think they're really going to move the needle.
I don't think it's going to move a needle, but I think it's going to make them at least a little bit of money.
Yeah, but not to
recoup. That's what they're looking for. They're looking to make some money, at least make you know, something out of all this budget that's been spent on this game, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, the way I see it is like, okay, I just spent $100. Hey, at least I can make $5 back, you know. That's kind of the way I see it. But, you know, we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong, but I doubt it. Because again, this game's already tainted, you know. Like that's it, bro. It's done, you know. All right, man. Anything else you guys want to say about the Starfields before we move on?
Yes, I have something to add based on what Brett said about why he feels the games are being watered down, and I can tell you exactly why this is, Brett.
Uh-oh.
And this is sad to see, but it's just the way it is. So, Brett, as you know, there's a conference that happens, I think, around February every year called the Game Developers Conference, or GDC for short. And a bunch of devs, they get together, they share ideas about how you make games and how you make games well. Now, there was one talk that I seen, as there's a bunch of talks that get recorded and put out for free, whereas a bunch of others you need to pay to see, and obviously I'm not paying to see them. So one of the free talks, I believe it showed a highlight of a streamer playing a game. I'll mention the streamer's name in case you know him, because I think it makes it even better. So in the clip, they showed the game being streamed. I believe the game was God of War. I'll have to double check. But I believe the game was God of War, and in the corner they blurred out the streamer's face, but it's evident that it was a streamer known as Darkside Phil. Now, depending on your reaction to it, I'm guessing Tony knows him, based on Tony's reaction.
Kind of.
I never watched his stuff, but I know of him.
Yeah.
Old DSP. He's legendarily horrible.
Yep.
there we go. So, it was highlighting Darkside Phil's gameplay and how he was unable to find something in the world. And the talk was mostly about how you get gamers to find stuff in the world, and they're using him as an example. So basically that's why Brett's games, they don't feel watered down, they are watered down. Because this is what they mean by like a general audience. Like, they want people like Darkside Phil to find their way around these worlds and be able to do stuff. And that's the problem.
Okay, so, I mean, this, if memory serves right, this is the guy that was so oblivious he beat his meat on live webcam, right?
Yes.
Oh no, okay. That dude. Oh no.
They're using him as the litmus test for player competence. Mm-hmm. That explains so much.
Oh my god, it really does. Oh man, that's bad. Game industry. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that explains why a bunch of games, which always seem to be made in the West, have this kind of weird feel to it, that they're talking down to you as if as if you don't know what you're doing. And that explains why in Dad of War 2, Atreus just will not shut up. Because again, they assume that, okay, you might get lost, hence you need to speak. And it also explains why there's a PC mod for Horizon called Shut Up Aloy. Because again, if Aloy isn't telling you what to do and how to think at any one time, then you kind of get lost in the moment. But at the same time, one of the biggest things I had about it is the game is really nice and looks really nice, and sometimes you just enjoy the moment, and Aloy talking, in like, it disrupts the moment. And we see this in lots of media where there'll just be like a moment happening in like a TV show or film, and then someone just talks about it and then they ruin the moment. It happens so often that it's infuriating.
There's also a mod for Dead of War as well that do the same thing, to stop it.
Yeah, didn't it say they removed an absurd number of dialogue lines?
Yeah, because it's literally, you get to like a puzzle part And a second later, Trey is like, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Like, bruh, chill out. I'm fine. I'll figure this shit out. You know, but it's like
it's too bad constant. It's too bad you don't have like the. You remember like in Resident Evil, if you could make a character say thanks, and then if you press the button, you know, really close with the other character, they'll say, "Hey, no, much appreciated." So you're like, could you at least, could there be a shut up boy button?
Yeah, shut up boy.
Shut up boy. Let me think.
That would have been amazing. I just went out there. I just looked up the number. It's 1,500 lines.
That's how many to cut out.
Yep. Wow. That's how many the mod put out.
Holy shit. It's insane, dude. Absolutely insane.
They have 1,500 lines of just like pestering puzzle dialogue. Like, what the fuck, man?
Thank you, Darkside Phil.
Thanks, kid. Yeah.
Because of morons like that. Yeah.
Why can't we just not have press X for hint?
Yeah.
That's the problem. There is no press X for hint. It's just we give you the hint if you stand around. Yeah, because
they don't want you to be shamed for pressing X, especially if you're a streamer. They're like, no, I'm not going to ask for the hint. Well, like, oh my god.
Well, remember they remember when the devs attacked Elden Ring for not being compliant for neurodivergent gamers or whatever the hell they called it with bullshit. It's like. You have a compass. You have a map and a compass. That's all you need. No, they and Ubisoft's guilty of this. I heard Dragon Age is horrible with this, with markers and flashing shit and whatever. You might as well put sirens and fireworks on the waypoint where you need to go, right? It's ridiculous.
And I have to push back on that a little bit. Souls games are not accessible to neurodivergent people. If Elden Ring isn't made for the most autistic motherfuckers on the planet, I don't know what is. And I mean that in the most loving way.
Yeah. Chris, so would you just describe about Dragon Age? That sounds like that meme that somebody created like after the whole Elden Ring fiasco where the developers like, here's the Ubisoft game. It's had all this shit UI all over the place.
Yeah.
You know? Like you just described the meme.
Yeah, but that is like going back to what Brian said, that's what they're catering to. It's like you have an overload of information given to you because they think we're dumb.
Because you think you're stupid. And they do. Yeah. You know, remember a certain company said, you got to feed it to them like they're little babies, you know? That's what these people think of you, you know?
Well, to be fair, fair.
Okay, go ahead. Be fair. A
lot of dumbass people in this world.
Oh, there are, but people.
There's Darkside Phil.
Dark Side Phil, but not everybody's Darkside Phil, you know?
I guess my point is there's a lot of dumbass people, but you still shouldn't cater to them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can just put it until, you know, you can just have it set to easy mode. And I know some gamers are like very sort of, you know, antsy about that, but, you know. You know, kind of, you know, how about if you fuck up, maybe it does like the old God of War game. Remember if you fuck up enough, that's like, hey, do you want this game to be easier?
Yeah, right. Do that.
I'd actually love that if it just did that. Like you just kept dying a certain amount of time and it just says, hey, do you want us to fix the puzzles so they're a little easier for you?
Oh, man. How humiliating would that be? You know? And it
is.
No, I was just about saying, just have it as like an option in the
option. Yeah, you know, have it as like an option.
Dialogue hints or something, you know.
Yeah, and that's not it. Just Atreus constantly battering you the whole game, you know. Right, Brian? Yeah, instead of a mod, how about you just have it as an option, you know?
Yeah, like I honestly don't understand game devs at times, you know. Just have these things be options because they know that some people like it and some people don't like it. You know, it's like performance mode and fidelity mode. Some people like one, some people like the other. So have it as an option where you can choose between which one that you want. And that's it. You know, it's simple as, you know. And especially with dialogue, it's literally just you play the sound or you don't play the sound.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
You know.
Crazy. All right, man. Go ahead, bro.
I guess it just puts the point around. It feels like, you know, and these are just mostly Western games. It's just how much more homogenized they are than people actually take into account. There's a lot of these types of trends that, you know, feels like people are writing right now, and that one is definitely one of them.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on. It's crazy shit. We got to talk about our friend Jason Schreier. He said something very interesting about Xbox, which is actually something we've been saying for a while. So apparently he was on some podcast during Tokyo Game Show, you know, talking about the state of Xbox and everything. And this is what he said, quote, "Xbox is such a mess right now. I feel like their plan is changing every single year." Oh, you don't feel that way. It is. We remarked about that on the show many times where it's like, what is the direction that this company's trying to go in? Because it always seems like they're pivoting, you know, chasing something.
There's multiple, you can obviously see that there is not unity within their offices. There's definitely plans that are being made, and then somebody else is, you know, subverting those plans or changing those plans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, again, like the proof is in the pudding how do you go? And this is the Tango, going back to Tango Gameworks. Like, how do you go to all the way to Japan? You give everybody at Tango Gameworks the spiel. We love the games that you make. We want to continue to do more titles with you. You're great. Da 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 da. Sit maybe less than 6 months later, they're fucking fired.
Yeah.
That tells me that they are not committed to their plans. And if anybody thinks that they are, they're stupid.
Yeah. And again, we talked about this too. It's like, I think, you know, Nadella is like, okay, this is what you guys are doing now. Like, this isn't working. We're doing this, you know? So I we've been saying this for a while. So I absolutely believe that, you know, that, or I agree with that remark. Here's another quote. Right now, they're talking about teasing handhelds over and over again, but who knows? A year ago, they were saying Indiana Jones was never coming to PlayStation. So, like, they change their minds every month. They're just a disaster over there. It's really sad. Yeah, remember? Yeah, I mean, you know, our fans are very happy to point out all the times that Phil Spencer has contradicted himself over the years, you know.
To be honest, the Indiana Jones situation makes perfect sense to try to attempt to put it on multiple consoles, because their install base is not enough to support that game.
Yeah, but my question to you is, why say it's not coming to PlayStation?
They will say, they're going to say anything to, and this is, and we've seen this happen before with all these different companies. They'll say stuff like, there are no plans, or we don't have any plans to do it. They'll say strategic language like that because they don't want they don't want people to lose their mind when they do.
Yeah.
And I think that's just, I don't think he said, I don't remember verbatim, but I don't think he said it's not coming to PlayStation. I think he just said there are no plans. The unanswered.
The usual, yeah.
It's also a leverage play. However much they can get. I mean, if you're telling PlayStation, no, it's not available, and then, you know, you go to the negotiating table, you're like, oh, well, we could put it on PlayStation, but we would need this, or whatever stipulations they would ask for. Otherwise, it's like, oh, PlayStation's like, oh, we just assume this is going to be on there.
Yeah. It could also be that he actually meant that, and then Nadella was like, no. You know, it's like, no, it's coming to PlayStation.
No, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm it could be that Nadella's like, okay, so then why isn't it coming for PlayStation? They're the number one, larger console besides PlayStation. And we have the option to essentially make money money off of it. Put it on fucking PlayStation.
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. Pretty much. It also, to me, speaks of a company that is just desperate because nothing they try works. So you're just trying whatever, you know.
But I'm gonna say this: when it comes to Indiana Jones, I don't know how strong that property is.
Yeah,
especially after you have especially after you had that bomb of a movie come out, and we've seen with a lot of Disney's Lucasfilm properties, there's been extreme diminishing returns for any of those things. They just released that Star Wars game, and it pretty much flopped. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It flopped. So, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, how like, especially when the last thing that you put out, you know, that you put out, I think a lot of definitely those things hurt what other connected things there are. You know, like after the Acolyte, you know, bombed, after nobody liked the second season of the Mandalorian, the third part of the Mandalorian, I think a lot of that stuff is, you know, it's not worth it anymore. And to release tie-ins doesn't help, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, again,
if you're riding high, games and stuff, you know, especially if they're based on a property, they continue momentum. But if the thing that it's based on is crashing and burning, people are not going to care.
Well, we're seeing the death of the what do you call those? What are those games called? There's a specific term for games that were just using IPs that were well known.
License games.
Yeah, like license games, like where you just released a random ass Star Wars game just because you wanted to release a Star Wars game and you know it would kind of sell, or something from another franchise. That's not going to happen anymore. I mean, what I think they were thinking to do, because they're just giving out Star Wars games to every developer and their mama. Like they're fucking. Respawn was doing one. Ubisoft was doing one. I forgot who else was doing one. There's another one that was doing one.
Oh, Amy Henning. Doesn't Amy Henning have a Star Wars game she's working on too?
Does he have it? Does she have any games?
I think there's an Amy Henning. There's like an Emmy. Like there's some whatever Starfinder, whatever the hell that company is called. I think they have a Star Wars game as well.
Yeah. So you know, it's just I think they're learning the lesson now that video games isn't as good of a business to do these types of shoe-ins. Like you're not going to make money. You're probably going to lose because it's just so freaking expensive to make video games. People aren't buying video games as much. They're spending a lot, but they're not. I don't think. And here's my theory: video games aren't selling as well as they used to, but profits are still going up, mostly because of subscriptions and DLCs and packs and all that stuff, all the microtransactions aspects of video games. But in terms of video games actually selling, I feel like that's just not there anymore, where you can't release a video game X and expect it to do whatever and have a low budget. No, if you're releasing a game, it's going to be from a big developer or publisher, it's going to be a big budget game more than likely.
I want to push back slightly on that.
Go ahead, Brian.
Sorry, Manny. No problem. I slightly disagree, mostly because in the same year, we had two big games do over 20 million, and both are new IPs. So I am willing to say that certain types of games don't seem to be selling as much anymore. But certain other games do seem to break out of the mold and sell a lot, which is strange.
Yeah, I mean, you'll definitely get your breakout hits. Like you'll have Helldivers 2, and then you'll have Power World, and then you'll have Elden Ring a couple of years ago and stuff like that. Like you'll have those types of games as well. But I'm just saying, at large, most titles. I mean, we're seeing. The Star Wars Outlaws is not going to do well. We're seeing Dragon's Age. I'm the first one that pronounced it correctly this show. Dragon's Age is going to go away the dodo. Forspoken, Red Fail,
Concord.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Brett,
go ahead. Well, okay, never mind. Go on, Carlos.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now. Yeah. We hear you now.
Oh, I said the reason nobody's called it that is because it doesn't deserve that title anymore.
He's stricken it away.
he stripped it away. He's like, no, not my Dragon's Age.
Yeah, listen, Brett came up with that name, and he is the one that takes it away. This is the law of nature, you know?
He's like, I giveth, and so I taketh away.
Yeah, so it's, you know, we're seeing a lot more huge flops than we've ever had.
Yep.
Like huge fucking flops, like Concord.
Concord Ultra. Yo, by the way, Skull and Bones. I don't know if you heard those reports about how much that game has been costing them, you know? Like, it's astronomical, bro. So I agree with you, man. Hi-Fi Rush. Here's the thing about that game. How much of a flop was it? Because it probably didn't cost them that much to make, you know? But I see your point. Games are just flopping, just like movies are flopping. It's like, it's interesting, man. I think we really should. I think the bigger flops are the ones that cost a fuck ton of money to make and then don't make any money back, you know?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing when it comes to certain factors, especially with something like a Star Wars, you know, when the IP that you're basing your content over off of is utterly shitting the bed on its own.
Yep.
It doesn't help making a Star Wars game if all the shit that's Star Wars related is all pretty much garbage.
Yeah. But the actual game itself is not good either, you know?
I mean, I don't know anything about it.
As you've seen from the videos, you know?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything. I just saw, just like, okay, it's a Star Wars game that they're trying to catch onto that thing. But, you know, it's interesting, though. There are rumors that they're actually want to continue with Cal Kestis. The sequel didn't do as good as the first.
Yeah, didn't do as well as the first, but it did better than Outlaws.
Yeah. So something about that people still seem to enjoy. So
yeah. By the way, Brian,
but then again, that game.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, Brian, isn't it interesting how the actor for Cal Kestis looks exactly like him in the game, yet the girl from Star Wars Outlaws doesn't? Very interesting.
It is. It's fascinating. You know, like, it's one of the things that I keep going back to time and time again. There was this game on, like, an older generation. I'm actually genuinely trying to remember the name. L.A. Noir.
L.A. Noir, yeah.
Somehow that game was able to pull off characters that look like how they do in real life back in the PS3 days.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Since then, scanning in characters and making them look like the real life counterparts got mistranslated over the years and somehow became harder to do somehow.
What about that game? I don't know if you guys heard about it. It's called Death Stranding.
Yeah, Death Stranding. Look at that. They know how to do it right, you know?
There's a bunch of people that look exactly the way that they actually look in real life. How did that happen?
Oh my God. Go ahead.
I mean, hell, like, there are people out there that were watching the Game Awards and say, hey, that guy dancing looks like Max Payne. Like, how's that possible?
Yeah. By the way, this is a perfect
PS2 game.
Yeah, it's a PS2 game. Perfect time for me to tell this story. I didn't know if I was going to be able to tell it tonight. Okay. So on Twitter, there was a random clip for The Walking Dead, right? Like, you know, I guess there's a new episode this Sunday. And I'm not kidding you. For 2 seconds, I was like, derp! I thought it was Death Stranding.
Death Stranding, you know? Yeah.
And then I saw Carol. I'm like, oh, okay. But for a second, bro, because Kojima makes those characters look the way they're supposed to, you know? Brian, what's up with the lighting in those games? Maybe it's the lighting. Remember when they said that shit? Oh, no, depending on the lighting. I don't know. No matter what lighting Norman Reedus is in, he looks like fucking Norman Reedus in those games, you know?
Super weird. Speaking of, do you guys see the thing I posted in the chat about Kojima's third phase?
No, what is it?
His third phase is going to be film and anime. Of course it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the guy wants it. I mean, he said his body is 80% cinema, so it's pretty obvious what he wants to do. Anyway, going back to the topic, yeah, Xbox is fucking up. and on that note, okay, so this is interesting. So apparently Microsoft is, like, reaching out to – okay, let me set it up. One of the themes that we saw this year is, like, a lot of games that are coming to PlayStation and PC – not coming to Xbox, right? And Microsoft is curious why. So they're now going to developers and just asking them, like, kind of doing a survey of sorts, like, why aren't you interested in working on our platform? Very interesting. I mean, I could tell them, maybe I could tell them, but you know what? Maybe I'll leave them alone and let them figure it out. I know the answer.
Yeah.
It's because the console is not selling as much as PlayStation. That's why.
I mean, also, a part of this, they were opening up their research division to essentially work with developers as well.
Yeah.
On their games. I'm like, wait a minute. You don't have your part of your research division isn't working with developers to get to get these games to work. What the fuck are you doing?
I don't know, man. So I find that you're funny.
I mean, that's the old shit that that people, you know, back in the day on the PlayStation 2, they were saying that, you know, PlayStation wasn't very, didn't support their developers that much, you know?
Yeah.
And then that's why they sort of, you know, this, well, it was on the, you know, 2 to 3. And then 3, they started, you know, giving more, you know, data and essentially working with studios to essentially try to get the games to work on there. So it's like Microsoft wasn't doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the crux of it. Now they want to work more in line with developers to see how they get their games on the Xbox. But it's like, is the system that hard to develop for? It can't be. It's not that different from the
PlayStation. I don't think it's that hard to develop for, but I think, yeah. I think to be honest, it's because they don't have the numbers there, and it doesn't mm-hmm. seem to make any, it doesn't, even if they put a game on there, it doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah. And then think about it like this, you know, kind of tying the two points together. The way a lot of companies have been bleeding this year or in several years, they're trying to cut costs as much as possible, right? So if they don't need to worry about an Xbox port, they're not going to, especially if it's not going to net them as much money. As I'm going to tie it into another story that we got coming up after this.
Well, but you see what it is like that Tokyo Game Show, they sort of touted that they had Square Enix putting titles on there, but it's like they're not new titles that they're putting on there. Square Enix is just putting the old shit on there, stuff that's already been out and has already run its course. I think it's because they don't want to take a full they're doing a toe dip to see they're doing a Microsoft toe dip on their end to see if they offer any sort of substantial money off of those titles. Maybe they made a little bit of a deal to put them on Game Pass or something like that. But other than that, I think it's just a toe dip. I don't think they're, you know, maybe they'll put bigger games on there eventually, you know, like simultaneous releases. But I think they're just like, let's test the waters here, you know?
Yeah. This is interesting. This is from Microsoft, their developer website. If you aren't on Xbox, we'd love to know why. And honestly, if you are using our competitors' products, you probably have a great perspective we could learn from. This is, you know, Microsoft to other developers. That's interesting, man.
Also concerning.
It is very
concerning. Because if they don't, if they don't know why people are not developing for them, they're kind of stupid. With all the fucking technology that these idiots have, right? You can't see the nose on everybody's faces. Why these things are happening? Are you even looking at the fucking numbers that you're getting off of the things that are being sold on your console?
Fuck.
I mean, I'm assuming that they're trying to figure out why. Besides that, like, is that the only reason? Is it strictly a market share kind of thing, or is it something that they can improve upon?
Yeah,
I think it's a bit of column A and column B, because they have this fucking dead weight console that they also have to develop for it as well. So they're not only developing for an Xbox, yeah, they're also developing for the S version of the Xbox. At least if you're on a PlayStation, you only really need to deal with one. There's going to be the Pro.
It's going to be two, yeah.
But at least for the most of this generation, you're only developing for one PlayStation, one that had a disc and one that didn't.
And I get what you're saying, but like, from a business point of view, it's going to be tough to tell them to cut off their most profitable product without kind of giving any kind of, like, it's where they make the most money. I can understand why they're kind of hesitant, because that thing apparently sells gangbusters.
Yeah, I mean, gangbusters is kind of subjective in this case, since Xbox in general
internally someone,
like yeah, internally yes 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 yes
high
yes.
comparison like yeah. it's more than a 2-to-1 ratio, like they definitely sell more than 2 S's for each X that they
yes,
sell.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, with so, internally yes yes you're 100% right about that.
So like two-thirds of their revenue in this sector is coming from that quote-unquote dead weight.
Yeah, wow, that's kind of bad too. So they can't cut off the dead weight because it's the only thing that's bringing in money, but that dead weight is causing problems. That's what we've seen from many developers, you know?
I mean, like
Larian, for example, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, if they could figure out their cloud gaming shit, or if they were willing to change their policy, it's not that they have to cut away this console, right? It's not that they have to just do off with it. It's that they have to allow developers the choice of what which version they want to develop for.
Hmm.
Or, you know, or both.
Yeah.
So even it doesn't have to be.
I was gonna say, even though they did make that silly statement where, you know, where it's, if it's available on the S, it's gonna be on the X, is gonna be available on the S.
Yeah, yeah, they're just gonna have to eat the punches and walk that one back, man. Like, it's,
I agree.
It's, if possible, you can put it on the console. If not possible, if it's not possible, it's not possible. It's. But here's the thing: like, I've started to wonder a bit about this because I'm like, man, I wonder if this is kind of a bit of crossed wires thing, because I think it's just, we all hate the S. We all know that it's dumb and it's for casuals and it's pretty much just the worst, you know, next to a Switch. Excuse me, to a Switch.
Yeah, thank you for your clarification.
But I don't think if I don't know if that is financially their problem, and I hate to say that because, again, I think it's dumb as shit. But I have to at least ask the question, because, you know, they try to check my own bias, things like that. I have to actually ask the question, is that really their financial albatross, or is it just that I hate it and I think that that's theoretically what would be their financial albatross?
The thing is, it's the only thing kind of keeping Xbox going at this point, like you said.
Yeah.
But that's a bad thing. But at the same time, let's just say, for the sake of argument, the Xbox One S didn't exist, I don't think it would help matters that much. Like, we wouldn't have more games. You know what I mean? Which is the main problem Xbox has at the end of the day.
No, I don't think we would have more games. No, I would agree. I would agree with that. I don't think we'd have more games.
So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
Price point is proving to be more valuable. I mean, even just with the backlog, like, I thought the PS5 Pro was, you know, retardedly expensive, but apparently I did not expect a good chunk of the internet to apparently agree, because there's been a lot of pushback. People been cooking Sony for that price point. So I can't help but kind of deduce from all of this information that, you know, apparently price point carries a lot bigger weight than we would anticipate.
No, you're 100% right about that. The reason the S is so successful. I'm thinking, it's like, okay, the S is annoying to develop for, you know, it could potentially be holding games back, and in some cases has held games back. But if now I'm just thinking about it now, just with this conversation, if it didn't exist, I don't think it would really matter in the end. For Xbox, it wouldn't have made things better, you know?
Xbox wouldn't have made more games. What they could have done is allow third parties to develop for whatever they want.
Yeah,
and if a lot of third parties start developing for the Series X exclusively, and that changed the sales to lead more towards, like, let the games lead, right? Like, if you make it, they will come, all that bullshit. Like, let the games lead. Let third players, or, you know, if you're not going to make exclusives that can only run on the Series X, then let third party do it if they want to. And let that push the sales of your Series X to the point where you're now, like, because you've kind of gotten this self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Where, like, now most of your player base is on Series S. So you could not make games for most of your player base, right? Like, well, you're going to kind of have to at some point, unless you're just going to try and push this to the next generation, and I'm not sure you guys can survive the next generation without pulling up from the nosedive that you guys have been in for several generations at this point.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Xbox, man. By the way, Manny, since you brought it up, because that kind of ties into the other two stories. So yeah, Microsoft was obviously in a Tokyo Game Show talking about how great the relationship with Square Enix and all that stuff. So yeah, the Final Fantasy remakes came out. They, guess what? Surprise, surprise! They haven't sold. No one's buying them.
Yep.
So I find that very ironic. It's like, okay, yeah, we have this great relationship with Square Enix, but no one's buying the games, just like we said they wouldn't, you know?
Yeah, let's just be honest, that's not the classic Xbox playership right there.
Yeah.
You know, they've done this before. I think to be honest, it was smart that Square Enix decided not to essentially do a full, you know, a full, more than the toe dip that they did, because what would have happened?
Yeah.
Same thing.
It would, yeah.
Right.
I agree. So yeah, again, we've I've said I commend Xbox for trying to get into the Japanese market, but after 20 years, it's pretty clear it doesn't work.
You are not going to get into the Japanese market with a bunch of fucking old games. I'm sorry. If they thought that was going to tilt anything anywhere, they're idiots. Because I'm sorry, all the Japanese players that have played any of those Final Fantasy remakes and those remasters that they did, they've already played it. Any gamer on the other sides they've already played it and bought it. You're late to the party, and I guess you get a door prize for fucking trying, but that's not how you get into the Japanese market. How they did have a in to the Japanese market, but they fucking fired them.
Yeah, they did. Yep.
So the again, it's like, why even, like, you know, I get it. You know, you want to try. But how do you get to the Japanese market? What you do is you release a game that they give a shit about, and it's new.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If the new, yeah. I hear somebody
screaming Scalebound in the background, man.
Yeah, somebody say Scalebound. That was another Japanese game that they canned too. But like saying like something like this, I don't know, you know, Final Fantasy. The Final Fantasy VII games, right? What if, you know, you made the deal with Square, okay, the next Final Fantasy VII game, it's coming out, and then all the other games are coming out in one big pack with it. That's how you get the Japanese audience in there, if you want to try to attract them, or at least try to attract people that are interested in Japanese-style games.
Yeah, but that didn't help games like Blue Dragon and stuff like that, you know?
I mean, that I appreciate them trying, essentially, they literally had the best of the best. They had the guy who created Final Fantasy making an exclusive game for them.
Yeah, so that's my point. It's a pretty big deal. Even if you have an exclusive, it doesn't work. So what you just said, I understand it, but that already failed, you know?
Yeah, I think the one thing about it is that they didn't continue to do it.
It wouldn't have led anywhere, man. It wouldn't have worked.
I think they still should have essentially started to continue to put things out in that market instead of just locking themselves down to just, you know, this is before Xbox had its, shooter identity. So it wasn't defined yet. And I feel like they shouldn't have let the what happened with Blue Dragon and what happened with a couple of the other exclusive sort of Japanese type games to essentially fall by the wayside. But Dead Rising did well.
It did, right? Yeah. I need to double check that, because didn't Blue Dragon come out after Halo 1 and 2?
As I remember, Blue Dragon was part of that initial push for the original Xbox.
Yeah, let's look that up. No, 2006. Halo 1 and 2 had already been out, that which established the shooter identity. So that was already in there, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it wouldn't have helped anything. It didn't help anything. You had two exclusives made for Japan, you know, or for Japanese audiences. They didn't give a fuck. So I think putting out more games like that wouldn't have helped. It would have just been a money sink, you know? They've tried, though. They kept trying every couple of years. But yeah, that shooter identity, Manny, was already well established by 2000. This was the year Halo 3 dropped, you know?
I'm wondering also if maybe something needs to happen. Maybe they need to rebrand. Maybe they need from the Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe they need to get away from the Xbox naming convention and identity, you know, and just literally just go to Microsoft Games or, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's something we've been saying that'll help them out, I think, in the whole world, because, you know, the Xbox brand is tainted now, you know, and it still has that, you know, like that dude bro fucking the Xbox, you know, remember when everything was X back in the day, extreme, you know?
I don't know what will give you that idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
when the first Xbox came out, Adam said, and I quote, "This is a system for hardcore gamers." That stigma is still there, you know, all these years later. And obviously, back in those days, hardcore gamer meant something different than it means now. You know, now hardcore gamer means like somebody's just a really dedicated player. Back then, it was like, you know, you know, do the Predator handshake type of players, you know, hardcore, you know, X. It's crazy, man.
I mean, also it was the direct Xbox.
Yeah, the direct Xbox. Yeah. But you know, they had all that shit, the Mountain Dews and all that, like they went in on that shit. That's where quote unquote toxic game culture came from, those Xbox lobbies. You know, man, imagine some of the modern audiences in those lobbies, bro. They would have heart attacks, man. All right. Moving on here again, the theme of tonight is disasters. Ubisoft, Chris's favorite company, man. We got to talk
Ubisoft?
About
Ubisoft? Oh, my God.
Chris, man, I know you've been keeping up with this shit, boy. Woo! So what? Now, oh, go ahead, man.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah,
I'll
lay the groundwork. So we've been covering, okay, it seems like every day something happens with Assassin's Creed. But now it's gotten to a point, and, you know, I'm kind of being a little scattershot here, where the investors are pushing for an investigation to the company because shit has gone bad. We had Star Wars Outlaws flopping. People are not only are people pissed off about Shadows, the Japanese government is discussing this fucking game because they're upset, you know, and then every day you find out something new. The fucking destroyed Tory Gate, which was really offensive. You just find out that the official Japanese, you know, the official Japanese translator is a Chinese guy based out of China for a Japanese game. That's kind of rich right there. It turns out that the historian, the authentic Japanese historian they hired for this game, also Chinese, you know. And then you had, again, so many little things like a tech demo they showed for Yasuke. A big black guy destroying fucking like a Japanese stall and shit. I'm like, that's kind of tone deaf, you know, and all these other things. There's a bunch of rumors going around too. I'm not going to get into them because even though I like the YouTuber that's putting out these rumors, he's still a YouTuber. That's not a source I rely on, you know. But even if we leave that aside, this is bad for the company. It's losing millions of dollars, billions maybe. And now, you know, rightfully so, the shareholders, like, what the fuck is going on? You know, they again, we talked about this before. They want to, like, make the company go private and then just fire Yves Guillemot because they're like, we're tired of this shit. You know, Chris, what's your take on this?
Well, they have to. They're bleeding money at a rate I didn't think possible for a game studio. Like, this is, you know, beyond Hollywood levels of losses.
Yeah.
You know? When you talk about Disney losing 300, 400 million on a project or whatever, but this is Disney. Hollywood plays with like huge numbers and they take hits and the studios figure it out or they merge, you know, but game studios can't do that. So when you're talking 200, 300, $400 million losses on a single title, it's insane for a video game company. And they've taken loss after loss. Now I, you know, with Star Wars Outlaws and what's happening with Assassin's Creed is bad enough. They pushed it off. I've seen the rumors that they're going to either downplay Yasuke or replace him. Right. I don't know how you do that in 4 months, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is that that's going to cause a lot of issues too. Just
replacing him. Journalists are not going to be happy about that. By the way, I will say this. Yeah. This is just a tinfoil hat right now.
That's just tinfoil hat.
No. Yeah. What I'm saying right now is tinfoil hat. What I'm about to say right now, I think that February date is a placeholder. I think you're going to keep punting this shit as long as possible. You know,
probably just to get rid of the stigma.
Yeah,
because the game has 100% bad press. Like you said, the Japanese government was so pissed off. They're investigating the fucking release. There's nothing good surrounding this game. So maybe they will punt it like a year. You know, but. At the same time, can they afford to punt it a year? Like, you know, and do that tarnishes other brands. It's like, how is anybody supposed to purchase Division 3 and not think that this bullshit is going to be in there or Ghost Recon or any of the Tom Clancy stuff or anything else? You know, so that's bad. I saw another, again, grain of salt rumor that somehow Skull and Bones lost on the order of over $800 million.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
How, you know, and if that's true, fuck, could that project grow in such a scale to lose that amount of money? That's insane, right? When you're getting close to $1 billion on a single title in loss, that's, I don't know how you're still viable as a company. So the board is absolutely right. Yves Guillemot has got to go. They have to restructure the entire thing from the top down. It's a mess. It's a disaster. And I don't know. It's like every game studio is competing, is like racing to the bottom, but Ubisoft seems to be at the bottom right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right about that. Go ahead, Carlos.
I will say this. I wholeheartedly disagree with Tony.
Uh-oh.
Actually, I feel like it's, you know, blasphemous what he's saying. they need to release this in February, in particular February 28th. I'm hoping and I'm praying to someone, whoever listens, that if they release this game February 28th, somehow Capcom is like, maybe we should move it away from this shit show.
Yeah.
and then everyone will be happy.
Oh,
how about,
man,
that?
That's hilarious. Go ahead, Rich.
Oh, I was just gonna say, yeah, Ubisoft definitely has some issues right now, a lot of issues. The comment about, I'm familiar with the person that made that comment about Yasuke getting removed from the game. There's no way in hell they're going to do that in the next couple of months they have, because they said February, right? If it even comes out in February.
Yeah, February 14th, no way. Valentine's Day.
Yeah, there you go. See, yeah, so that's, they're hoping that they definitely get some love. People will pick up the game. That's what Ubisoft is hoping. But I do want to just add this, because I'm currently, you know, I'm actually in Boston. I'm leaving to go back to ATL tomorrow. And I was watching my brother play the Star Wars Outlaws game yesterday. This is on Xbox. And I'm like, this game looks absolutely horrible. I mean, it's an okay game, but graphically, it's like you can tell the quality is not there. So, and then, of course, there's certain things in the game where it's like, they need to fix that. They need to fix this. It's just, it's, the game is a mess. So, not surprised no one was buying the game. Don't really know how they're going to fix that game. But yeah, Ubisoft is in a lot of trouble right now. So, we'll see if they get themselves together.
Man, I see some quote that's hilarious. I saw one guy compare the water in Outlaws to Hydrophobia, which is right now a 14-year-old game.
Oh, remember that game? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
No, the water was beautiful in that game. That game is 14 years old now. And everybody's like, well, that game was designed around water. It's called Hydrophobia. I'm like, idiot, you don't get it. The game is old, and it has better water than a current-gen game.
Yeah. That's crazy. By the way, since you guys brought up some of the rumors, I got to throw the craziest one out there, which I believe 100%. Apparently, when this game was originally being developed, the protagonist was Japanese, like a Japanese guy.
And, yeah, I read that too.
And a certain something happened in 2020, the Summer of Love, and they're like, oh, maybe we should take advantage of that. Again, that's a rumor, nothing substantiated, but I believe it. You know, wild shit. But the things that aren't rumors, you know, that Ubisoft is fucking up, that's a fact, you know, and we'll see. Yves, you got to go, brother. You got to go. You're fucking it up. Go ahead, Brian.
Just add to this, because I think there's something that you've not talked about that is sort of big, if you know why, which is that Shadows will be the first Ubisoft game to be on Steam day one since Uplay launched.
Really?
Now, that's a big, exactly, that's a big thing. Because obviously Steam is Steam and Steam exists. So for them to release on Steam day one is really them saying that, yeah, we need more money.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
yo, that's crazy. Yeah.
Because not even Outlaws. I think Outlaws has come to Steam, I think, this month or next month. I think it's with the first update they come to Steam. But yeah, every other Uplay or Ubisoft game has not been on Steam day one since Uplay existed. So this is them eventually coming back.
Desperation. Mm-hmm. You know, that's desperation as fuck right there, bro. Wow.
Yeah.
This is crazy. All right, mm-hmm. Anything else you guys want to add in about Ubisoft's?
The travesty,
yeah. All right, man. And the last thing, again, the last failure of the night. And Brian, this is our favorite game. Coming back for another one. You know what it is. Concord? No, that one's already dead. This one's still alive. You know it's called Suicide, the title.
Oh, no. Do we have to talk about this?
Yes, because I love roasting this game. I will never miss an opportunity to roast this piece of shit game, bro. Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. It released season 3. And Brian, it debuted with less than 300 players on Steam. Like what?
That was me imitating the sound of the lobbies.
Yeah. Like, so in this season, they release, they announce Deadshot's daughter. Yeah, because everybody was clamoring to play as Deadshot's daughter, you know? Uh-huh. Trash, bro. See, at least Concord had the dignity of just really suiciding itself. These guys are still lingering. You have the name Suicide in your game, bro. Just do the honorable thing.
I mean, here's the thing. All I know is it's like, They're continuing to keep their to keep their release scheduling as far as the DLCs, yeah. Which is fascinating to me. I guess they want to see if they can turn this one around.
I like your use of the word fascinating. It is fascinating. Mm-hmm. But they're not. The player keeps getting lower and lower, the player count every single time.
Is it worse than Starfield?
Yeah, I think it is. It has to be.
The reaction or the to it is worse than Starfield.
Not the reaction. Nobody cares. You know.
I mean, nobody cares. But I'm saying, I'm guessing less people are playing this than there are the Starfield DLC.
Brian, I'm looking your way. Let's see what's up. How many people are on Starfield and how many people are on Suicide Squad right now?
Currently, Starfield has 11,500 players on Steam.
Okay, 11,500. Okay, and Suicide Squad.
That'll take me a bit long.
Okay, that'll take a time. But yeah, so anyway, I understand where you're coming from. It's like, okay, at least you're putting out content like you promised, but it's like no one. It's like screaming into an empty void, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like maybe that's the thing. It's like, okay, we've already committed to putting these things out. We can't cut it now. So let's just put out whatever we can. Collect as much as we can off of this and see what happens.
That's like a dude that's like a dude on Twitter has like 50 followers, goes on these rants. It's like, nobody's reading your shit, bro.
Yeah, I don't know.
But go ahead.
Okay. I almost died there.
Damn. Okay. You remember 11,000 roughly, right? For Starfield. Yeah.
175.
Oh, wow. God. What? How
holy
much?
Shit,
how much?
That, like a tenth, literally a tenth. How much of Starfield?
How much did Concord have at the end?
I don't
was
know.
Was it like that too?
It was. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Actually, it's 1.5%, Tony. Not 10%.
1%.
10% of 11,000 is. It would be 1,100.
1%. I'm not a math person. That reminds me of the episode of The Simpsons. You know when. Homer, when Lisa teamed up with Mr. Burns, and then he started killing all these sea animals and stuff to form a company, and then Mr. Burns gave her a check, and she's like, "I can't do this." Ripped up the check. Homer has 4 fucking heart attacks simultaneously, you know. And then when he gets up, when he gets up in the hospital, he's like, "It's okay, Lisa, but we really could have used that $12,000." Like, Dad, 10%. Of 120 million isn't 12,000. It's, and then it cuts a code blue. So I just had that moment. It's like, oh shit, 1%. Damn. It's 1% of a shitty game. Yeah. Like Starfield is already doing bad numbers. That is hilarious, man. Yeah, this game's cooked. Like, are we going to be season 4 now? What are you gonna do? You gonna fucking dig up Kevin Conroy or something? Like, how are you gonna bring people back, bro? That what a disaster. And you know what? I don't feel bad for him, man. Just what you get, you know. So good on him. It's fucking funny. I will never stop talking about that game whenever it comes up because it's always something. It's always funnier than the last story. Oh man, yeah. I guess I missed Mrs. Freeze DLC didn't do so well, did it? You know, bruh, it's fucking crazy. All right, man, let's start wrapping it up. But since we have a little bit of time, let's go around the room here. What have you been playing lately? I'm going to start with Richard. Rich, what have you been playing that you're allowed to talk about?
That's an interesting question. Well, since I'm out of town right now, I haven't really had a chance to play too much this week.
Yeah.
That will change because I'm going back tomorrow. But, yeah, I haven't been doing too much outside of... I did play the Mortal Kombat DLC that came out. I played that right before I left. And I did have a review for that that's currently on the website. I am a Mortal Kombat fan. So, obviously, I thought the story was good. But I will say... That DLC, that particular DLC expansion, it didn't feel like the story was complete whatsoever by the time I finished it. So I would not be surprised, because you guys are talking about Warner Brothers and how they are trying to get as much as they can out of Suicide Squad. I would not be surprised if there's another story DLC that comes out this time next year, because it just feels like there's more that they're going to do with that game to continue to support it a little bit longer. But we'll see what happens. But, that's pretty much all I've been playing.
Yeah. So I think they'll probably wrap up the story another DLC. Chris, what have you been playing lately?
Oh, not much time. I think I was trying a little bit to get to New Game Plus 5 in Elden Ring.
Oh, shit, damn.
So I kind of went back in. Yeah. But I have a whole bunch of backlog to play. I still have to finish Stellar Blade, but I don't know. For some reason, I needed a warm blanket, so I go back to Elden Ring.
Yeah, that's a warm blanket. Elden Ring.
Are you going to go into the world of Silent Hill?
Oh, the remake? No, hell no.
Oh, really? You're not going to do it?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
Nah. Yeah, there's some stuff behind the scenes as well, Manny, that I understand why Chris is like, nah, I'm good, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Brian, what have you been playing lately?
I actually would like to apologize to the audience because I actually was playing something. It's just, it was so in the back of my mind that I didn't even think about it. So because the Borderlands film exists and I need to wash that thing out of my mind, again, I've not seen the film. I've just seen the trailer and I know it exists. So that is enough poison to want me to play the game. I actually started playing Borderlands 2 and got the Platinum 2-3 days ago.
Oh, shit. Look at you.
Yeah, so that's actually what I've been playing. But it was, like, in the background as, like, a automatic thing, so I didn't even notice that I was playing it as such. So, yeah, that is what I've been playing. And now I'll be playing Space Marines 2.
Ooh.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Excited.
Are you going to link up with the fellas? Is that I gave crossplay?
It is, but I think these guys, they play different times, so probably not.
All right, cool. Brett, what have you been playing lately?
I just popped in around. Sorry about the fiddly. Just playing Valheim lately, building my base, keeping through.
That's fine.
Like, I just beat the third world boss the other day.
Yeah, is that you jumping back into the game?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. After Elden Ring, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do something... Stick gears, do something a little bit less anxiety, a little bit more just kind of creative. So went from oh god, oh god, oh god to just peacefully building a Viking home. It's been fun.
That's cool. Awesome. All right. Carlos, what have you been playing lately?
Nothing, and I blame Rich.
Uh-oh, Rich, what did you do to this man? Actually, I'm guessing it's because Rich is out of town, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know exactly what Carlos is going to say. We were supposed to play Warhammer with our very good friend, Mr. Adam Vale.
The nuke.
And, there was a bit of a... that hurricane hit... A little bit of that hurricane hit Georgia. So I... that and, you know, I missed my time to play with these guys. So we definitely need to get back into that. Maybe we would play that this upcoming weekend.
Nice. Manny, what have you been playing lately?
I was playing the Plucky Squire, but the one problem with that game, I should theoretically have the platinum, but the game is kind of glitchy.
Oh,
so I have every single trophy in that game with the exception of one for collecting all of these things, and I collected all of them, but the trophy didn't pop. So there is some sort of issue with the thing that they're attempting to fix. What I'm thinking of doing is essentially doing one final run of the game, just with trying to get, essentially do a full completed run of the game and see if I can get it to pop then. Just delete the whole game, delete the game saves and everything. Scorch Earth. and then see what see if it it shows up after that. If it doesn't, fuck it, whatever.
Yeah, that's crazy though. Fucking glitch trophies are worse than multiplayer trophies. Like those are the bane of my existence.
Yeah, because there's no, but the, you know, like a lot of time, like especially when it comes to like collection trophies, where you can't go back. The game, the way the game is set up, is you can't go back to certain levels and get them. You pretty much have to do a one and done run, you know, and get everything at once. Because even when it launched, the trophies were all screwy. So I made the mistake of playing it on, you know, because I was like, okay, you know what, I don't really want to play, you know, like. This is not a hardcore game. So I put the game in story mode and I played through and I missed the items. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'll play it again on the normal mode and I'll get all the different things that I didn't get on the main, you know, on the first game that I played. And then the trophy, essentially the counter froze at the point that it froze at the point that I did the amount that I got when I initially played the game.
Okay.
So after that, anytime any game, any further game playthroughs after that, I can't get any of the stuff, which is crazy. So my guess is like maybe if I if I clear all the cache, clear all data from the game, and see if I do like a fresh run, maybe the trophy will pop. If it doesn't, oh well, you know, is what it is. It's not a super long game. It's a decent game, but I do have to say that it's a very simple story, but it's like overly written.
Uh-oh.
You know, it has this sort of like, it sort of has this like modern sort of writing. It's supposed to be like a fairy tale book, but it has like a modern writing style. So everybody over talks.
Okay,
I'm like, I find myself skipping through a lot of the dialogue in the game. There's just a lot of text dialogue.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I get the drift if I just skip most of this and just read the key points, because they usually put the key points at the beginning, at the end, and then they have all this filler dialogue. But yeah, you know, I'm only playing it because it came free on PlayStation Network. So yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. As for me, I'm still on my fighting game kick, specifically Street Fighter, mostly Street Fighter 6. I'm still getting some more of his Capcom, but Street Fighter 6 has grabbed me. But I want to use this opportunity to show you guys something I bought to play Street Fighter 6. I want to give a shout out to Cuban Boss, because he wanted me to show it off on the show, so I will. So I bought it's called the PDP Victorious Pro, which is a modular controller. I'm going to actually show you. So this is what it looks like out of the box, and it comes in this like nice case, right? And it has all these little like parts. Like, here's the main reason I bought this thing. When I saw this, I'm like, sold, you know, I need my 6-button layout. And then it also has different D-pads. This one is a little bit like kind of more like the Sega Saturn one. But you could also have this one that's a little bit more like the Super Nintendo. You also have different size sticks. Like, you have like this longer one. I don't really know why you would want a longer stick, but apparently it's good for first-person shooters, but I'm not a first-person shooting guy. Out of the box, it has, like, the joystick is, like, sunk in like that. There's a name for it, but I don't know. I forget what the fuck it is. Concave contacts, I always get those two confused, but you get the more sticky-out one, which just fell. But as I'm talking, I'm going to mod this to show you how I play it, but I'll ramble on about fighting games, because I've been on that kick lately, man. I also
you playing fighting games?
Yeah, for fun. I also downloaded the King of Fighters. You guys are still hearing me good, right?
Yeah, we can hear.
Yeah, I downloaded the King of Fighters 15 demo. I didn't know there was a demo for it. Kind of cool, but it's one of those things, like when you play a lot of Capcom games, when you switch over to another game, you kind of have to deprogram yourself. So I would, if I get serious about King of Fighters, I'll need to spend like a day or two with that game. And it's the same thing goes with whenever I move over to like Blaze Blue or something, or Guilty Gear. Okay. So yeah, see, I took this off, and if you want, you could also like swap this out and like put one of these like rounded. I don't know why you would want this on your analog sticks. I'm pretty sure there's a competitive reason. I don't know. I'm not a competitive player. So
I mean, it gives you little, some people like to have a little stopping point between the directions that they're pacing. So
this is what the modules kind of look like, you know, this is pretty cool. Oh, by the way, back buttons, baby, you know, by the way, I know it's Call of Duty, but I like the camo. It looks fucking cool, you know, but it has
looks blue. It looks It is. It looks blue from here.
It is blue. Oh, it's a blue controller. So yeah, there's the back paddles and stuff. It's more buttons. The triggers go down, but if you want, you could set them to stop. So, you know, like that, which is pretty cool. So with the D-pad, you don't have to take the module out. You just take the D-pad out itself. And it's just recessed like that. So with Street Fighter VI, what I've been doing is a mix of like World Tour mode, which I said last year too when I started playing. It's just fun because it's like basically like 3D Final Fight. Go around the world beating the shit out of people or NPCs in this case. It's a lot of fun, and I didn't realize you could actually get mastery level with everybody. So I'm like, oh, I got to get that now, you know. But there's still like little. What's up?
I was gonna say, are you getting the DLC, the Halloween DLC?
Yeah, there's a lot of John Talbane people running around right now, you know.
Oh,
and I'm like, yo, Capcom, can we get a Darkstalkers game? You know.
Yeah, instead of getting a costume for one of the characters. Yeah.
So this is 99% the way I have it set up. The reason I say 99 is because I do one last thing. Take that off. You know, I take that off the top of the analog stick. Because so when I use the D-pad, I'm not grazing the top of this, which is a problem I have with the Hori controller. You know, like when I do my Hadoukens and stuff, I would graze the top of this. So I was like, okay, let me just take that part off.
It's too bad they don't have a cover for it. Like, in other words, a little cover to sort of, you know.
Keep it in here?
A cover for. No, I'm saying a cover for that.
I wish,
to cover
Manny,
that nub.
I wanted to take the nub out, but I can't do that. I wish I could have done that. A braided cable, which is always nice. So my main complaint with this, I'm giving you guys a full review now. My main complaint with this controller is you can't set these two buttons, which are R1 and, like, these two buttons are always locked in R1 and R2. With the Hori controller, there's a little thing up here where you can make the L1 and L2 come over here. You know, because I'm like, why do I need these two buttons when I already have them down here? You know, R1 and so. And there was another Hori control that I had that had the same issue, which is annoying. So, but thankfully, what I did was I set you know how you could click on L3 and R3? I set those to be back here, you know? That kind of works.
Cool.
But that's the only complaint I have with this controller. Like, I wish I could set the L shoulder buttons to the right side. Other controllers do this, so I'm not asking for anything crazy. And also, if you guys can see this little switch over here, basically, this is, you could use this on PS5, PS4, and PC. And for PC, it also has like a like its own software. So if you want, you could really modify stuff there, like you know, like take away dead zones and shit like that. Pretty robust stuff. Also, I don't know if you guys can hear this. These buttons are nice and clicky, kind of like a keyboard, which is a lot of fun. And I started winning more matches because of this controller, believe it or not, you know? Because even with the Hori controller, I was having some issues getting my supers out consistently, you know? And what annoyed me was the PlayStation controller, I was getting my super moves out consistently, but I don't want to play a fighting game on a PlayStation controller. It's a good controller for like, regular fighting, for most fighting games, yes, but not for Street Fighter. For Street Fighter, I need my six buttons, you know? For Marvel's of Capcom 2, it's actually okay because that game is like four buttons and stuff. Obviously, the other downside is this shit's fucking expensive, $200. So, you know, just be aware of that. But this is an officially licensed product from, like, Sony didn't make this, but Sony officially endorses it and stuff. So it's not some cheap knockoff and stuff. Pretty good stuff. I've been having a lot of fun thanks to this controller, but I'm also a crazy person. So now, because I can't switch these top buttons, so when I play Marvel vs. Capcom, I use the Hori controller with that. I use this one for Street Fighter VI, and then for World Tour mode, I use the PlayStation regular controller because World Tour mode has like modern controls, and I feel it's easier to be cheap with those, you know, because I'm like, it's just a story, but I don't have to be fair, you know, I can just be cheap and stuff. But this is really good for, like, you know, fighting and stuff against other people. So,
getting serious.
I'm back in it, Manny. The spirit has been reawakened, you know,
fighting spirit.
Yeah, you know what it is, man, like playing this stuff, like, it just reminds me of all the fun we used to have back in the day. It's like, I miss having that feeling, mm-hmm. man. I don't really get that feeling anymore from modern video games. Mm-hmm. So, got it. Even though Street Fighter VI is obviously a modern game, but it plays like an old one. And also last week, and I think I said this on the last show, like, on Friday, my cousin came over. No, he didn't come over. We played online. Then the day after, one of my oldest friends came over. We're just playing Street Fighter, beating each other's asses, having fun, man. It's like... Mm-hmm. When our boy Anthony came over, that was really special because he was right there. It was right there, you know. It's mm-hmm. like I miss that feeling, you know. Oh, by the way, it also comes mm-hmm. with a little wrench here. Good controller, and I want to tell you guys about it. Shout out to Cuban Boss. Like, Tony, are you gonna do a review? I'm like, sure, you know. By the way, ironically, because you know, for you guys who don't know, I'm a writer for Tom's Guide. We actually did review this controller. I had no idea. But even in our review, which I excellent review, don't get me wrong, but there was only one sentence in there about fighting games because the person who reviewed it, obviously more into like first person shooters. He focused more on that. If I had written that review, I would have had an entire section just devoted to fighting games. You know how I get down, man. So I still may write something on it in the future. But I got too much stuff. Other things to write about, which I'll tell you about later. Not gaming related, but I can't get into it. Actually, one of them is gaming related, but you know, can't tell you about it. That's pretty much it for us. Another week of Throwdown in the books. Rich, what is going on with the Coalition this weekend?
Well, first and foremost, the I Am Negan podcast is officially back.
Oh, let's go.
Mr. Adam Vale, Carlos Romero, and myself, we recorded our first episode of the second season of The Carol Darryl Show. I'm just going to call it that. I'm not going to too many other words or whatever. So, yeah, interesting episode. This is Carlos's favorite show this fall, even though he really should be watching The Penguin because that show is actually pretty good. But, yeah. Stay tuned for our thoughts on episode 2. We're going to be recording our next episode sometime this weekend. So stay tuned for that. And as for October, it's going to be a very busy month in regards to several games. I know quite a bit of games I will be playing, so I may talk about those games next week. Stay tuned for that. But yeah, a lot of stuff happening this month, so... I'll be very busy, which is why this particular break was needed, because it's going to be crazy for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're not going to get a break for a while, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, good stuff, man. All right, we're done here, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You could also find us on any podcast app on the planet. That is Throwdown Show, two words, Throwdown Show. If you have been watching us on YouTube and enjoy the video, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Be notified of when we go live every Thursday and Sunday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. And for everything else, the links are below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
All he had to do was make a splinter cell game.
That's all they had to do. But instead, you get Yasuke instead. Oh, man. All right, people. We'll see you on Sunday, man. Make sure you start getting questions in. Later.